Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 6th day of December 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. We'll hear a conversation I had with Jim Rogers over the weekend. He's in Tokyo, Japan, or at least was at the time, an international investor. We discussed last week's OPEC meeting, what he thinks that might mean for agriculture in the future. And then we'll stay on that energy's topic. Harry Cooney of GrowMark will be here to take up the ag energy sector. And we'll close out our time together with Don Day, as usual, for Tuesday afternoon. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, right here on Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, because I'm traveling at this hour to Kansas City for the Van Trump Conference that's scheduled for tomorrow morning. No updates for the commodity markets this afternoon. If you'd like to stay up to speed on that Van Trump Conference, by the way, my intention at this point is to post my Twitter feed directly into the willag.org website and tweet to you so that you can see what's happening at the conference. There should be some really good content coming from there. You can follow me during the day tomorrow if you use Twitter. At Commodity Week is my handle. Otherwise, just visit willag.org, and I'll try to make sure that my Twitter feed is posted directly into the website tomorrow afternoon. I'll make the run back here to Urbana-Champaign and the University of Illinois campus. Be here on Thursday to talk to Zwicker during the closing market report in the afternoon, and then off to Olney, Illinois for the evening. That's a good event at the Holiday Restaurant. Starts at 6 o'clock for one of our Will Ag panels. We'll have Kurt Kimmel and Wayne Nelson, along with Mike Zuzlow and Gary Schnitke with us. That's sponsored by Country Financial, Illinois Farm Bureau, and U of I Extension in Olney, Illinois, tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock at the Holiday Restaurant. The first real kickoff Will Ag panel for the winter meeting season. If you get a chance, you can drop by there. If you'd like to have us come out to your event and bring a Will Ag panel, we're certainly open to that. You can give me a call at 217-333-9697 or email me at tgleason@illinois.edu. Stay with us right here on Illinois Public Media. We'll be continuing our conversation with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in just a couple of minutes.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening. Partly cloudy skies. They'll turn overcast overnight. A low of 25 tonight. Winds out of the west at 10 to 15. Tomorrow, cloudy skies. We'll have a high of 34 degrees. And tomorrow evening, cloudy skies. Partly cloudy after midnight. A low of 20 tomorrow night as things begin to clear out. Winds out of the west-northwest at 15 to 25 miles an hour on Wednesday evening. For Thursday, sunny skies. A few clouds. A high of just 42 degrees on a west-northwest wind. It'll be blustery out there at 15 to 25 miles an hour. And then Thursday evening, mostly cloudy early, clearing later on, and we'll go all the way down to 17 degrees. On Friday, generally sunny, despite a few afternoon clouds, a high of 24 with a west-northwest wind at 10 to 15. Friday night, considerable cloudiness, a low of 18 degrees. Saturday, intervals of clouds and sunshine will go to 33. And then on Saturday evening, things begin to get a little tougher. Cloudy, a period of light rain, some maybe freezing rain, a 40% chance of less than an inch of precipitation, a low of 27 degrees on Saturday evening, and that rainfall or snow will continue with us, mostly as showers on Sunday. We've got a 60% chance of maybe a couple of tenths, a high of 38 degrees here in the Urbana-Champaign area on Saturday and Saturday night. Rain, snow showers in the evening, transitioning to snow overnight. will drop to a low of 28 on a wind out of the west at 10 to 20 miles an hour. 60% again is the chance of precip on Sunday night.
WILL programming is made possible by your local DuPont Pioneer team, committed to providing the products and agronomic insights farmers need to achieve success, investing in innovative traits and technologies to meet the needs of a growing population. Pioneer, with you from the word go.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, actually traveling at this hour to Kansas City for the Van Trump Report tomorrow. So we're talking a little earlier in the day with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Thanks for being with us, Wayne, and I do appreciate it.
Well, we're here all ready to talk about what's happening by midday, but not at the end of the day. So I wish I could be moving to Kansas City with you.
Yeah, so here's the important thing. At midday, and this is where we stand, this is not a turnaround Tuesday. Who knows where we're going to end up by the end of the day, but this is the second day in a row where we've had double-digit gains in at least the front months of the soybeans. What is driving it?
Well, there's continued strength in the oilseed sector. Oil scored some new contract highs overnight. The open interest saw another jump yesterday. The specs were adding longs, and we saw declining in open interest in the corn and the wheat yesterday, some short covering there. We continue to see Malaysian palm oil making highs, considerably tight. And one of the things that really seems to be flowing over into things, Todd, is the Argentine weather. It's dry in some areas down there. It looks to stay dry for the next 10 to 12 days. And there's just a little bit of concern after the way that we saw the dryness creep in there last year. So, you know, that, and of course, we'll see the USDA report on Friday.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit more about this USDA report. The November numbers generally don't have a large impact, but we've been changing each month this year with the crop production report. What USDA says is the yield and total production for both corn and soybeans, and last month was a big change again.
Yeah, you know, they're looking for the wheat ending stocks are estimated at 1.139, the corn ending stocks around at 2.413, and the beans at 470 million bushel. You know, we're talking about, will there see some increased export numbers come in, but maybe take a little bit out of the feed and residual numbers. So not much difference to the ending number, but they'll be tweaked a little bit on this one. Now, I don't think we see any production changes on this report yet. I think that waits till January. But, you know, we'll probably see some export numbers added to it like that, and we'll see if there's any negatives to go with it. But all in all, the crude oil, you know, still above $50. We're $51.82 as we're trading here right now. That's added a little strength to things, too. And the idea that the inflationary factors that seem to be coming in with the Trump administration add a little enthusiasm to the commodities.
Were you busy at 10 o'clock this morning? That's kind of
10 o'clock seemed to be the phone rang off the wall here about that time. You know, a lot of farmers are considering that, you know, maybe as we get up towards the old November highs and that area, that it's maybe time to let a few new crop beans go and getting some other things in line for what's going on. But, you know, a lot of maybe some put buying, too, in these beans for the guys that are thinking about putting another 80 or 150 or 200 acres more of beans while they're wanting to protect this $10 cash price.
Are guys thinking it all about the corn, or are they just satisfied to put that in the bin and leave it there?
Well, for right now, I mean, the corn is still not at levels we can say there's much of a profit there, so hardly anybody's talking about selling corn here.
As you discussed, and maybe you talked with guys a little bit when they were making phone calls to you this morning about their acreage for the coming year, are they planning to change acreage, and is that one of the reasons they wanted to sell new crop soybeans, or they just think, well, we made it to $10 or nearly that, and I'm going to make a sale there?
Well, the first half year statement was pretty true, Todd. We're going to see guys who are maybe 70-30 corn are going to go back to 50-50 rotations. We're going to see the guys who are 50-50 going to probably go 60-40 beans. We're talking to seed corn dealers, and they're selling more beans. They are definitely selling more beans than corn this year. And at least for right now, that's what the farmers booked.
What other things are you watching on the fundamental side, if anything? Do we need to be worried about Trump and trade in China?
China has greatly front-loaded a lot of their buying here. I don't know if that's because they want to buy things, right, or they need it, or it's because that they are a little bit scared of something that could happen. But we've seen, 30 or 40 boatloads of beans probably been traded in the last 4 days to China out of the U.S. and another 20 out of Brazil. That's going to take them 3 months of December. And, we don't have too many more. And it's after January we generally start to slow down. So, we saw some more buying this morning. Some cash sales were announced. And it's still proceeding quite well. But, like I say, we are going to start to see them slow down in the next 3 to 4 weeks, while the bean sales to China are probably going to slow down dramatically.
Does that worry you very much as it relates to the price of soybeans?
It does. It does worry me in the respect of if we don't see a weather problem out of South America, why we could top here early, late this year, and wait, unless there's no weather problem, well, we could fade into the sunset after the first of the year.
Anything else that we ought to discuss before I let you go for the afternoon?
The crude oil is hanging in there quite well. The non-OPEC nations, or producing nations, are going to meet later this week again to try to discuss holding the production level down. I think it's a great opportunity for the frackers to lock in some prices above $50, maybe get back online.
And finally, any thoughts on the livestock, whether it be with the hogs or the cattle?
Well, we're seeing a little bounce in the cattle and a good bounce in the hogs today. We need a bounce in the hogs. They've taken it pretty rough over the last month that way. But I think up around 110, 112, if we can get those levels, why we want to be hedging some cattle.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do find us online at WILLAG.org. Just a reminder that Wayne and I talked earlier in the day as the market prices were up. I do not know at this point how the market's closed because, frankly, I'm traveling to Kansas City at this time. Stay with us. We'll have a really good interview with Jim Rogers next. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Last week, the Organization for Petroleum Exporting Countries, they're known as OPEC, decided to cut production going forward. I wondered what impact that might have on crude oil and the overall global economy, along with agriculture, and decided it would be best to check in with Jim Rogers. Rogers is an internationally known investor. I called him on Sunday morning, his time, about 8 o'clock Saturday evening, our time. He's in Tokyo, Japan at the time, and asked him to explain the OPEC deal to me just a bit.
Sure, Todd. OPEC met and said they were going to cut production, and prices went up. I don't pay much attention to OPEC at all. They've been around for 50 years, and sometimes they get it right, and sometimes they don't. OPEC is fortunate this time. The supply of oil has been dropping. As you well know, the frackers in the U.S. have cut back dramatically. Production elsewhere is under pressure because reserves are going down. So they picked a good time to do it. It's going to work, at least for a while. In my view, oil, the price of oil is making a complicated bottom here. We're going to look back in a few years and we'll see that in 2015, 2016, 2017, oil made its bottom, and then we'll go up from there. I don't think that you're going to suddenly see $90 oil from this because they always cheat. Somebody has to raise money, blah, 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 and it just doesn't work. But at least the fundamentals are getting better now, Todd.
Are you satisfied then with maybe a $40 to $60 range for crude oil?
Yes, I would say that's probably likely. Who knows, two or three years from now, we might look back and see that, oil has been more or less in a $40 to $60 range for a while now. That range may continue. Something may happen to knock oil down again. But essentially, we are now, in the $50 to $60 range for a while.
The last time we talked to you, which is a few years ago now, you were very bullish the agricultural industry across the planet. Do you remain that way?
I am bullish. The fundamentals continue to improve. And by that, I mean, the fact is that we're running out of farmers worldwide. And that alone means that eventually agriculture is going to be extremely profitable again.
What part of the agricultural world would you prefer to invest in?
Well, the best way, of course, is to buy a farm and become a farmer if you're good at it. I'm not going to do that because I'd be hopeless. I'd fail. I'm sure I would fail miserably. It's not that easy being a farmer, as you well know. But there are many ways. Seed companies, fertilizer companies, tractor companies. I happen to be a director of a large fertilizer company that's doing well at the moment, despite some overcapacity in some places. So there are many ways, but the best way is to buy a farm. I do advocate buying farm products or agricultural commodities if you know what you're doing. What I would do if I were looking today is I would get out a list of the agricultural products, commodities, and see which ones are down the most and start thinking about buying there. Because the agriculture is going to be spectacular down the road.
What makes you think that's the case besides the lack of farmers?
Todd, that's very significant. You know, millions of Indian farmers commit suicide. The highest rate of suicide in the UK is in agriculture. More people study public relations in the U.S. than study agriculture. The lack of farmers is very, very serious worldwide. The average age of farmers in Japan, where I am now, is 66 years old and going higher. The big areas of farmland where there's not anybody to farm. So this is a very serious and significant event which is taking place over time, obviously, but it's getting worse, not better.
Do you think it's possible, though, Jim, that like other manual labor jobs across the planet, the manual labor involved with farming might be automated out of existence? And so this would negate the need for as many farmers, with the exception of possibly the management styles?
Well, there's no question about that we've seen automation for a couple hundred years in many, many industries. And yet we do have recurring bull markets. There's no question that driverless tractors or automated tractors are going to happen. Lots of things are going to happen. But still, you've got to have somebody doing the job. You know, in England in the early 19th century, the know-nothings went around smashing up machines because they thought the machines were going to put them all out of business. You know the rest of that story. There have been plenty of workers in the past 200 years, despite the fact that automation and machines came into the textile industry.
Can I ask what beyond agriculture you might think is a really good investment today?
Oh, as I look around the world, not much. I'm pessimistic about what's going to happen in the world. It's been 8 years since we had an economic problem, and historically, between 4 and 7 years in the U.S., we've had problems. Doesn't have to happen that way, but we're getting overdue. There's a huge amount of debt. A lot of excesses that have to be cleaned out. Political problems in Europe are going to get worse and worse and worse. But having said all that, I guess the thing I'm most optimistic about right now, or one of the things, is Russia. Russia is a hated market. Whenever I can find a hated market, I get very interested, like agriculture. Russia is now, people are becoming friendlier. Mr. Trump says he likes Mr. Putin. The new president of France, the person who looks like he will win, says he likes Mr. Putin. In the Philippines, they like them. Finland and Norway just renewed diplomatic relations with Russia. So it's all getting better now. And it was a very cheap market, and they have lots of assets. It's a convertible currency. They don't have a lot of debt like many, many new nations. So I guess Russia would be one of the best places. Agriculture, too, of course.
Thanks so much. But before I let you go, is there anything else that we should talk about for the day?
Well, yeah, Todd, everybody should become knowledgeable. And once they become knowledgeable, they're going to be very worried these days because we're facing some serious difficulties down the road. And, you know, some of us aren't going to survive. I hope I do. It's going to be very, very painful. The next economic problems in the world because the debt is staggering everywhere. 2008, we had a problem because of too much debt. Debt has gone through the roof everywhere since 2008. So the next time it's going to be even worse. Be worried. Be prepared.
Are you worried about the number of dollars that are in circulation around the planet?
Of course I am. Yes, I hope you are too. Everybody's printed huge amounts of money in the past 10 years. This has never happened in recorded history. Negative interest rates in some places. They're not working, but, you know, politicians are trying these things. No, I'm very, very, very worried. One thing on the horizon which may give a temporary boost is there's something like $3 trillion U.S. dollars that are owned by American companies outside of the U.S. for tax reasons. Mr. Trump says he's going to figure out a way to bring those back. If he does figure out a way, and there are certainly ways to do it, that would give a big boost to the U.S. dollar and to the U.S. for a while. But that will be the last hurrah.
Hey, thank you so much for taking time with me today.
Anytime, Todd. Let's do it again. Bye-bye.
Jim Rogers is an international investor. We speak with him occasionally here on the Closing Market Report. I spoke with him Sunday morning, his time. He was in Tokyo, Japan. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media this Tuesday afternoon. I'm joined by Harry Cooney. He's at Growmark in Bloomington. Thanks for being with us, Harry.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Let's talk a little bit about that OPEC meeting last week. What did it tell you about the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries?
Well, it was a very interesting meeting because you go back 2 years ago and they made the big change from defending price to defending market share. And, of course, the market just fell out of bed to the downside at that time because we're going to be pumping more all out. Now they're starting to change that stance. This meeting was very important because it seems like now they're starting to turn that attention back somewhat to defending price and maybe still trying to defend market share also, but bringing price back into the equation. So it is probably a shift here, and now we're going to get some more concrete details here in coming weeks, probably a little bit more about it. Then there's always the people that will be out there questioning whether what they've decided on will be held true or not, you see. So it was a big deal. The market rallied. The market was sitting around $45. It's rallied since then to just over 50. And so seasonally at this time of the year, you'd expect a break in the market. So far, we haven't seen that break here in December, but usually it's December, January for the break. Still a little early for that.
So does this mean you're watching things really carefully to try to place some buy orders?
Oh, exactly right, because I've always said that the period between Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day is the window of opportunity for buyers to step in and take advantage of some contracting values for the next calendar year. Even the values here now around $50 a barrel compared to history, these are not bad values. If they work into your operations, whether you're on the ag side, whether you're in more of industrial or commercial, if they work for you, lock them in. These are the times of the year that we want to take advantage of this. Don't try to figure out that next OPEC meeting, for example, or don't try to figure out that next move by the funds. It's, those things are just almost impossible to pick out. When you see some good value, lock them in.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Harry Cooney. He's with Growmark out of Bloomington, Illinois. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's Feast of Nicholas Day, patron of bakers, barrel makers, brewers, and coopers. On this day in agricultural history in 1492, Columbus sighted the island, now known as Haiti and the Dominican Republic. In 1766, Johann Bodmer was born. A Swiss mechanic, he was a prolific inventor of textile-making machinery, including machines that made the process from carding to spinning wool continuous. In 1863, Charles Hull was born, a U.S. chemist. he invented an inexpensive process for extracting aluminum from its ore using carbon electrodes with homemade batteries and sodium aluminum fluoride. Before that discovery, aluminum was considered a precious metal like gold or silver. Afterwards, it went for 18 cents a pound. In 1945, the microwave oven was patented. And in 2006, an outbreak of illness from the dangerous E. coli 0157H7 was reported, with green onions as the suspected cause. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, thanks, Don, for being with us today.
Sure thing.
Tell me about weather in Argentina. They have been a little dry, and there's some concern, I think, in the marketplace. They will remain that way, though it is a little iffy, I guess. Is there rainfall coming this week to them?
Well, there is going to be some rain in Argentina, but it may not be covering the key areas that folks would like to see. There's going to be some rain, pretty good rain, across the west central and northwest and northern areas of Argentina here in the coming days. However, once you get south of that, it's a pretty dry-looking forecast, so there are going to be some key growing areas that are going to miss out on the rain. There'll be a little bit of rain, though, in those northern growing areas. So a concern about dryness in some portions of Argentina will continue.
Is it hot there as well?
Well, it's not extremely hot. So far, early on in their growing season, temperatures haven't been that far off normal. Now, with this warmer, drier pattern, certainly when you are into a summer season, dryness does make things warmer, and it will be a bit above normal in Argentina this week.
What are field conditions like in Brazil at this point?
Well, better. The rain chances in Brazil are much better. Temperatures are going to be only slightly above normal. So Brazil, don't see too many concern at the moment, as rainfall looks to be above average or near average in those areas.
Here in the United States, what can we expect over the next several days?
Well, certainly a transition to much colder weather. We're already seeing that out west, and we're going to see the door open to Canada here for, well, at least a couple of weeks. And so we're transitioning into a winter weather pattern, and a large portion of the United States, the exception would be the southwest and the far southeast, is probably looking at temperatures averaging below normal over the next 10 to 14 days. We don't see a big snow event coming, but several small ones, and especially it's going to be very cold for folks in the northern plains of the Dakotas. The northern Rockies and across portions of the upper Midwest are going to see some very cold weather.
Yeah, so it sounds like Canada has their front door open to us and their back door open to Siberia, potentially.
Well, yeah, you know, after going through all fall, really, October, November, with the door slammed shut, it's now open. And so a lot of that cold air that's building on the other side of the globe is getting a chance to come over here now.
Anything that we should worry about anywhere else across the planet?
Well, right now I would say that we're going to be watching those key areas in the southern hemisphere, Argentina in particular. We're seeing a little bit of a warm-up in Western Europe, where they've had a pretty cold start to their season as the cold air migrates a little bit more towards North America.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
Thanks, Todd.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Tomorrow, I'll come to you from the Van Trump Conference in Kansas City, Missouri. Be sure to catch up with us either right here on this radio station or online at willag.org.